peace, asking each and every blessing from Allah. Bismillah is like it's, I did not say it out, I did not speak it out. But by mentioning Allah's name, then I'm asking the blessing of Allah's name, the aid, the facilitation. So when you say Bismillah, it is as if you ask from Allah, Allah, bless my work, bless my, for example, I'm eating breakfast. So we're asking blessing, acceptance, and we are asking facilitation, aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Sheikh Fawzi explained that all the Salaf, they used to do this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to send letters to rulers and to kings, inviting them to Islam, to accept Islam, he used to write Bismillah in the name of Allah, Bismillahi ar-Rahmani ar-Rahim. And also this is the way of the Prophet. We have Prophet Sulaiman, he was a king, a ruler. When he sent a message to Bilqis, she was a queen of a region called Sabah. What did he start his book to her? She read out the book. And she called to the she called the chiefs and she called her consultants and the people who have authority, and she read out the book. So when she read it out, she told them as in the Quran, قالت يا أيها الملأ إني ألقي إلي كتاب كريم إنه من سليمان وإنه بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألا تعلوا علي وأتوني مسلمين. So she read them as Allah said in His book. She read to them, O chiefs, a noble letter has been delivered to me. It is from Sulaiman, and it reads, in the name of Allah, the extremely merciful, the bestower of mercy, do not be haughty and refuse what I call you to, but rather come to me in submission. So it is befitting to begin with, in the name of Allah, the extremely merciful, the bestower of mercy, in every important affair, and in every word which has importance and value, and in every letter. So if you want to write a letter, if you want to do an important affair, we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Try to always have this dhikr in your tongue. And before riding a car, you say Bismillah. I said before taking off your clothes, you need to say Bismillah, which is certain. Another benefit, which is protection from the eyes of the jinn, to conceal the eyes of the jinn from us. So always, by mentioning Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and by mentioning Bismillah, it is a supplication. It is asking Allah, Allah, I'm asking your blessing, I'm asking your support and aid. And Sheikh Fawzan says, those who choose not to start the letters or to start any work with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, يعني those who turn away from this sunnah, you will not find any blessing in their booking, in their books, in their writings. They are deprived. So if you ignore to say this, if you don't care enough to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and ask aid of Allah in every work, then by turning away from this sunnah, you will be deprived from the blessing, deprived from Allah's facilitation, and deprived of the benefiting. This is very important issue here. He said, why did they abandon in the name of Allah? A lot of people, you find them abandoning this name, this sunnah of saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Because now, subhanAllah, every now, people of bid'ah, people who hate Islam and fight Islam, they flee away from sunnah. And I will say another thing. Sheikh Fawzan here that is stating that on purpose, they abandoned this on purpose. They abandon saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim at the start of any work. But again, the scholars say that anyone who has a bid'ah, if you have any bid'ah, by this bid'ah, you will be deprived from a sunnah. Allah will take away from you a sunnah. Each and every bid'ah will take a sunnah away from you. So when they fall in bid'ah, when they fall in wrongdoings, they become deprived of following this great sunnah. So the meaning of in the name of Allah, the extremely merciful, the best word of mercy is seeking aid through the name of Allah. And that's why, like in the Qayyim, when you find the name of Allah and he explains the name of Allah and the greatness of Allah's name, that if you feel anxiety, fear, and say Bismillah or La ilaha illallah, at once you will feel relief. So it's a relief from any anxiety. It gives you strength, it gives you confidence, it gives you tranquility, subhanAllah. So just mentioning Allah's name, this will bring you each and everything good to you. Here we say, with the name of Allah, this is a preposition and a word which is governed by the preposition, connected to something which is left unmentioned. We did not say, Bismillah, we don't say, Bismillah, I will eat. Bismillah, I will start explanation. I don't say this, I leave it unmentioned. So, whose meaning is taken to be, I seek aid through the name of Allah, the extremely merciful. I begin with the name of Allah, seeking blessings by means of it, and seeking the aid of Allah, the mighty and majestic. So it's a tremendous preface for speech and for books and for letters. The person seeking aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its beginning and seeking blessings by means of his name. He the perfect and most high. This was the introduction of the author. The first treatise, this treatise contains several treatises. We find that in this treatise, Usul al-Thalatha, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab will start giving you, for example, 3 matters, then 4 matters. He is trying to tell you that we need, in order to understand about Aqidah and to understand religion, we need to know the sequence to organize our thoughts. So again, he is summing it up. What you say is mujmal, yani it's like summarized, summed up and summarized without details, in order for you to start making sequence in your head. So now, I never say act before knowledge. No, now I say knowledge before act. I never say da'wah before act, or calling before act. So for example, I say first knowledge, then comes act upon this knowledge, then comes da'wah, calling, and then of course to tolerate and to have patience. So you see what this treatise will do for you? This will organize your mind, because in order to understand clearly, we need to take it step by step. And this is what will happen in this treatise. It will take you step by step. You start from the beginning until you keep building up your understanding. So he's saying now, اعلم رحمك الله. اعلم. اعلم in Arabic is no. No. Command. It's a word indicates giving importance to the topic. I'm saying you know that this way is dangerous. If I say this way is dangerous, I did not get your attention enough. This path is dangerous, I did not get your attention enough. So when I tell you know that this path is dangerous, here I got your attention. It's a way to tell you what I'm going to tell you now. You need to know it. You need to understand it. So it indicates giving importance to the topic. He said no, then it's meaning that this matter which is going to put before you is a matter which is important. So no indicates importance. No is a command from knowledge. I'lam comes from ilm. No, knowledge. I'lam comes from ilm. Learn. What is knowledge? What is ilm? Ilm is to comprehend something as it actually is. To comprehend it according to the reality. If you know my name is Zainab, then you know my name. But if you think my name is Fatima, then you are ignorant. So either علم, knowledge, either ignorance. Either knowledge, you are knowledgeable about this, you know this, either you are ignorant. There is no other alternative. So knowledge is to know something according to reality. Or to perceive something in accordance with how it actually is. So to comprehend something in a manner which is contrary to how it actually is in reality, or to perceive something contrary to the reality of it, this is ignorance, which is opposite of knowledge. So for example, this you can know that if you understand, for example, the name of Allah, any name of or attribute of Allah, you understand the meaning of the attribute. You are knowledgeable. If you deviate this meaning to another meaning, then you are, here is ignorance. See, if you say, for example, the hand of Allah, we prove the hand, he has a hand, and you know the meaning of a hand in a way where Allah, there is no similarity with his creation. Perfect state with no similarity. Then you are knowledgeable. But if you say that Allah has no hand, and the hand here is power, this is ignorance. So he's saying, see now we have a beautiful stuff. You know, and everyone who is reading this treatise, everyone who is reading this treatise of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, اعلم رحمك الله. What happens to us now? اعلم رحمك الله. Did you get anything from this? Can anyone tell me? What did you receive now? اعلم رحمك الله. Anyone get this hint? We have a great Imam, great Imam of Ahl Sunnah and Jama'ah, making supplication to us. This supplication he made is for each and everyone who will be reading his words. So he supplicated to you and we say, Ameen. May Allah have mercy on us. Rahmaka, rahmaka Allah. So ask Allah to answer his supplication of this pious man and يعني, grant us mercy. فَإِعْلَمْ رَحْمَكَ اللَّهِ. He is supplicating to each and everyone reading his treatise. رَحْمَكَ اللَّهِ. May Allah have mercy upon you. It's a supplication for the seeker of knowledge. So Shaykh makes supplication for the students of knowledge that Allah has mercy upon him. First of all, if Allah has mercy upon you, you know what is mercy? Mercy is that each and every good act you will be able to do, it is because Allah has mercy on you. So mercy has an effect that you are able to do good acts, to be away from the bad acts. And with His mercy, you are going to understand the treatise. So we ask Allah mercy because we need it to understand the words coming now. So we say Ameen. And we take the intention, Allah give us the correct understanding and grant us acting accordingly. And it shows the kindness. See how a teacher should treat his students? Not only a teacher, anyone making da'wah to a person, anyone who calls to Allah. This is the way you should treat people. If you want to call someone to Allah, when it has to be based on mercy. Because this knowledge, the knowledge, العلم, is based on mercy. How it is based on mercy? When I tell you When I tell you the correct creed you need to have, you need to believe in this and that. I tell you what is halal, what is haram. When I tell you how to pray, what am I doing to you now? I'm saving you. I'm taking you to the path of the Jannah. I'm saving you from the punishment of Allah. And this mercy has to be conveyed to the person you're calling. He has to feel your mercy for him. No arrogance. No arrogance. And no belittling. I do not belittle you. I don't think myself I'm knowledgeable than you, or I am better than you. You are someone who disobey Allah, and I obey Allah. You are ignorant, and I am knowledgeable. This is terrible, shameful. Will make people flee away from you. You lost their hearts. In order for a heart to give attention to you, you have to, first, you have to soften this heart. You have to talk to this heart first. Yeah, you need first to introduce yourself to this heart, the heart of the person you start talking to, giving advice to. So first, the heart has to accept you. The heart of the person you will be advising needs to know that I'm only advising you because I have mercy for you. I want to benefit you. I want khayr. I want goodness to come your way. So this shows the kindness of the teacher towards the student, and that he should begin with good and fine speech, with righteous supplication, so that this has an effect upon him, and so that he turns attentively to his teacher. If the person you will teach loves you, then he will listen from you. So first, see again how subhanAllah, and this great religion, take care of the heart. It's not something rigid. It's full of emotions and full of mercy. But if the teacher begins with stern words, listen here, you ignorant, you will go to hellfire. This is stern words. This is very bad. It's not appropriate. Then this will alienate to cause the student to flee. So what is obligatory upon every teacher? Everyone who calls to Allah, everyone who commands the good and forbids the evil. So it's not only for teachers, because each and every one of us should be commanding the good and forbidding the evil. Amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi an munkar. He should be kind and gentle with those he addresses. Make supplication for them, compliment them. Make compliments, it's okay. See, I see that you have good manners. I see that you, I know that you love Allah. I see that kaza. Then you start giving him or her advice. Tell her, I see good characteristics in you. I see good attributes in you. Compliment him or her. So she finds that you do like her. You do care for her. And speaking with mild speech, because this is more likely to bring about acceptance. Is this hypocrisy? No, this is not hypocrisy. This is wisdom. This is mercy. As for the obstinate opponent, the person who proudly refused to accept, so subhanAllah, each and everyone has to be treated according to his state. The wisdom is that I'm not, this is me, this is my way. I speak to everyone the same way. I don't change myself. I don't change, because some people think this, by the way. They say, I'm like this. Take me or leave me. No. If your aim is to take by the hands of people to Allah's path, then you need to change. You need to make effort. You need to think, how can I approach the heart? How can I make her accept my da'wah? It's very important. So those people who are listening, who accept to listen, we are lenient with them, we are lofty with them. But those opponents who are obstinate and proud, arrogant, then there's a different way of addressing this person. Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Do not debate with the people of the book except in a manner which is best. the best manner. إلا except الذين ظلموا منهم. Except those of whom who transgress. وقولوا آمنا بالذي أنزل إلينا وأنزل إليكم وإلهنا وإلهكم واحد ونحن له مسلمون. The rest of the verse in Surah Al-Ankabut, you'll find that I make a debate, but if someone is arrogant and he told me يعني, something which conveys he's not interested, he is يعني, refusing to accept with no logic. In this case, I do not continue to what is hajjadal, to argue. No arguing. This bad, Allah does not like this arguing. I argue, the good arguing is that someone who has doubts, so I keep removing his doubts by bringing dalil, bringing evidence. This is good arguing. But someone who is just refusing Allah's verses and is stubborn, do not argue with him. Tell him, I believe in Allah. I believe in Allah. That's it. And leave it to that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيِّ جَاهِدِ الْكُفَّارِ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَاغْلُظْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَبِكْسَ الْمَصِيرِ. O Prophet, strive hard against the unbelievers and the hypocrites and be stern with them, and the final abode is the hellfire, and what an evil destination. So there's a way to deal with a character who has no knowledge and he is ready to understand. You are lenient with him. You have mercy with him. A kafir who is stubborn and arrogant and just refusing with no logic, then, no, you have to be stern with him. The munafiq, the one who shows iman, appears to be a good Muslim, but he is hypocrite. He has no iman in his heart. He has hate for Islam or hate for sunnah. Not only he could be a Muslim, but he hates the sunnah. He is one of the people of bid'ah, deviated. This person, you make jihad with him. What? How do you strive against this hypocrite? The problem, this hypocrite, since he's saying, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad, Rasulullah, then I cannot strive against him by force, by sword, by weapon. I'm not allowed. Because he shows Islam. So he's protected. So, how Allah is saying, O Prophet, strive hard against the unbelievers and the hypocrites, and be stern with them. جاهد الكفار والمنافقين. How can I strive against hypocrites? Striving against hypocrites, against people of bid'ah, is by knowledge. Your weapon here is your knowledge, the proofs you have, the evidence you have. By showing to people the deviation, revealing the deviation. So striving to reveal the deviation and to show the correct understanding according upon evidence, strong evidence. And that's why they say jihad with knowledge. Your jihad with knowledge, Sheikh Sa'di said this, is more important than jihad with the sword. Because everyone can fight with a sword, with a weapon. But not anyone can fight with knowledge. Only the people who Allah chose. That these people understood His religion. They cared enough to know the evidence. And they cared enough to show this evidence and to clear any doubts and to clear any deviation. And Allah also said, وَقُلْ لَهُمْ فِي أَنْفُسِهِمْ قَوْلًا بَلِيغًا. In Surah Nisa, Allah said to His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and admonish them with a saying which will have an effect upon them. So there's a specific manner of addressing those people because they are people who deliberately and obstinately reject from pride. They don't want the truth. Rather, they want to misguide the people. They want to misguide the people. So these people are addressed with that which befits them. Which is to be stern, to be firm. As for the student who seeks knowledge, he should spoken to with gentleness and mercy, kindness. because he desires the truth, he desires knowledge, and he desires benefit. So as long as this person is listening, she might be asking a lot of questions. She might be having a lot of doubts, full of doubts. Don't give up. Don't give up. As long as she is listening, you have to be patient with her. Give her your time. Give her the evidence she needs. And it might take time, but since you have, yani, she is showing interest, then keep with her until she is convinced. So what we should know? إعلم. What should I know? He is telling us now, know that it is obligatory upon us to learn four matters. إنه يجب علينا تعلم أربع مسائل. يجب. واجب. يجب is obligatory. To learn four matters. To learn these matters. In order, like Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said, don't ever have a creed, i'tiqad, without a proof. For me to build up my i'tiqad, my creed, my belief, I need to build it up upon proofs. This proof, a verse, a hadith. So now, you have to learn four methods which will help you to believe correctly, to have the correct creed, correct belief. You will not be able to worship Allah except if you have this correct creed. So wajib is obligatory. And aqidah, by the way, nothing will be accepted from you except if you have correct aqidah. So it's obligatory upon each and every individual, each and every Muslim, to learn these four matters. Here the Shaykh is saying we have wajib ayni, fard ayni. Fard ayni, ayn is a specific person, each and every person, fard. And we have something called mustahab. مستحب is recommended. So fard, الواجب, obligatory, is that you have to do it. If you don't do it, then you are sinful. You are to be punished. المستحب, it is not obligatory upon you to do it. If you don't do it, no punishment. But if you do it, then you have a reward, you will be rewarded. This is مستحب. Like praying the two sunnah of al-fajr. Like fasting Mondays and Thursdays. This is mustahab. So mustahab, and there is a third type which is al-mubah. Mubah, permissible, allowed. For example, it's allowed to get married, allowed to eat and drink, allowed to walk in the garden, it's allowed. But if you do something which is allowed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the sake of benefiting the Muslims, then this mustahab becomes in your sight an act of worship, will be rewarded. For example, it is allowed to learn the science of medicine. To learn medicine is allowed. If you want to be a doctor, okay, be a doctor, no problem. But if you take the intention of learning medicine to be able to treat and cure, to try to cure the Muslims, and for example, to be an honest doctor, then in this case, this allowed will be rewarded for it because of your intention. So these methods, these four methods, if you did not learn them, you will be sinful. Because these four methods we are going to talk about are obligatory. And because knowledge cannot be acquired except through learning. Knowledge cannot be acquired. How can you be knowledgeable if you don't learn, if you don't take the time to learn, the effort to learn? How can you acquire this knowledge? I'm a Muslim. I go to work. I come from work. I clean the house. I sit with my kids. I go to sleep. And that's it. And I leave myself. I just pray. I fast Ramadan. I might fast every month. I might pray Qiyam al-Layl. And then, where is the knowledge? Where is the obligatory knowledge? How can you worship Allah correct in the correct way? So people, a lot of Muslims, they don't care to learn. They do not care to learn. They don't have time to learn. So that's why the Sheikh said it is obligatory to learn. Obligatory. To learn these four matters and what will explain the four matters. So attention and effort. You have to care to learn and to be attentive, and you have to exert some effort. And time, it requires understanding, attentiveness of the heart. This is learning. So sometimes to learn, it's not optional. To learn, it is not optional. He's saying four methods, meaning topics. They are called masail. Because it is obligatory that they should be asked about and that attention should be given to them. These four, by the way, these masail, it contains all the deen. Contains all the religion in these four masail. So he gets this, like when you say it is like bullet points. And then we're going to, and he's going to explain each and every one of them. So we need to know four things. Al-Ula. We need to learn about Al-Ilm. Al-Ilm. Do we learn about Ilm? Do we learn about Ilm? We learn what is knowledge. From where to get the knowledge. Because it's either knowledge, either it is ignorance. And when Allah talks about knowledge, each and every knowledge mentioned in the Quran or Hadith, Allah, it is meant al-ilm al-shar'i, the legislated knowledge. It is not meant with the knowledge of mathematics or science or medicine or architecture, no. Knowledge here is, so we have to know what is knowledge. So, knowledge is legislated Islamic knowledge. This is what is obligatory to learn. And we have to know which type of knowledge is obligatory that each and every one of us should learn. And which type, which is Fard Kifai. Fard Kifai is, if some Muslims learned it, then it is enough, khalas. It's enough. This will suffice the whole Muslims. Fard kifaya is that it is enough that some of the Muslims learn this type of knowledge, but it has to be the number which will suffice the ummah. Yeah, I say, for example, I cannot say that only one, for example, the knowledge of inheritance. The share, if there is someone died, and what would be the share of the inheritors? Each inheritor should have a share. I cannot say that only one Muslim in Egypt scholar should learn this. I will not say this. This will not be enough. But for example, if you have 200 scholars who understand the knowledge about inheritance, then these 200 can suffice the people of Egypt. Because in each and every city or town or whatever, there will be a scholar to teach them, to teach people and to make iftah and to answer their questions. This is Fard Kifaya. What is Fard Kifaya? Fard Kifaya is that when some individuals learn this knowledge, then it is enough. But each and everyone should learn about inheritance. About, for example, the rulings for for a crime. If a criminal did this, what should be the ruling? What should, how he should be punished? Not everyone needs to know this. Ruling of trading. For example, if someone died and you need to make ghusl for this dead person, how to make ghusl shar'i? Each and everyone has to make ghusl? To know how to make ghusl? No. But in each town, in each district, there has to be at least one who knows how to make ghusl. This one will teach the people around him, and this one will be able to perform this. But if there is a knowledge that everyone left it. For example, knowledge of inheritance. All Muslims turned away from this and they did not try to learn how to distribute the share of this, of the wealth of this dead person. Then all Muslims will be sinful. So Fard al-Kifaya is when part of Muslims knows it, learns it, then this will suffice and no one will be sinful. If no one learned it, then all Muslims will be sinful. For example, we say like Radd al-Salam. If you are sitting, this is Fard, there's also in like in our everyday, yeah. For example, if you are sitting in a group and a sister came and she said, Assalamu alaikum. We are five sisters sitting. And someone came, she said, Assalamu alaikum. Do we all have to answer the salam, to reply to her and say, Alaykum as-salam? Do the five sisters have to reply? No. If one sister replies, said, Alaykum as-salam, this is Fard Kifaya. If one replies, this will suffice the rest. No one will be sinful. But if no one replied, no one said, Wa alayhi as-salam, the five will be sinful. The five will be sinful. I hope it's clear now. Fard Ayn is that each and every individual has to do it or to know it. Fard Kifaya is that if one or two or part of Muslims did it, then this is sufficient and no one will be sinful. So wajib al-ayni is what is obligatory upon every individual from Muslims. So the five obligatory prayers which are upon the men and women. The prayers. Of course, this is obligatory. It is obligatory to learn how to pray on each and every Muslim. Even the children, when they are 7 years, they have to learn how to pray. So we have to learn the conditions of prayers, the pillars, the sunnah of prayers. You have to learn what will nullify the prayer. You have to learn what, if you have sahw, if you make sahw, when you don't remember something in the prayer, you have to know how to compensate for this unremembrance. It is obligatory. And here he says, since learning the meaning of the two testifications, it is to learn the aqidah, creed and belief. It's obligatory to know the five pillars of Islam. Shahada, Salah, Al-Zakah, Sawm, Al-Hajj. Obligatory to know the pillars of the Shahada. Obligatory to know the pillars of Iman. So since this, it means that if you learn about the two testifications, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah, this shahada, if you learn the meaning of it, then you need to learn about the creed. How? How? Because Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, then I have to learn Tawheed. I have to learn Tawheed. I have to learn about Allah, names, attributes, acts, why Allah deserves to be worshipped alone, no one to be worshipped with Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He is worshipped, then I need to know what did Allah, my deity, my Ilah, my Lord, What did he command? And I need to know what unifies this tawheed. To see how this shahada, when you say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, is it enough? No. We have to know the meaning of it. And you have to know the consequences of it. And you have to know how to fulfill it. And you have to know what might unify it, or what might, not unify even, what might decrease this or to affect this. So learning the meaning of the true justification is to learn the aqidah. So the Muslim learns the creed and belief in order to act upon it. He learns whatever opposes it in order to keep away from it. Yeah, for example, I say that it is from shirk to say touch wood. It is from shirk to put this horse shoe for protection from an eye. If I did not know this is from shirk, and I keep putting this horse shoe on my car or on my whatever, then I'm sinful because I did not care enough to know what is tawheed, and I did not care enough to know what will unify or what will affect my tawheed. It's important to know both. If you don't know the shar, the evil, you will fall into it. It's not enough to know the khayr, the goodness, the correct aqidah. This is not enough. It is not enough. You have to know what is correct, what is tawheed, and you have to know what contradicts with tawheed. Because if you don't know this, again, you will fall in it. You have to know that I cannot say I swear by the Prophet. I say by the Prophet name I did this with Nabi, or by the name of my father or my daughter. I have to say, if I have to swear, I swear only by Allah's name. So knowledge is of this type of knowledge is obligatory. Likewise, the pillars of prayers and these things. If you have money, and for example, if I am a poor person, so I need to know that zakah is one of the pillars of Islam. But if I don't have money, I'm poor. Do I have to know who is eligible to receive zakah and the percentage, and what about the zakah on the crops and zakah on the cattle? Do I have to know all this? No, this is fard kifayah, partially obligation. But if I have money, I have wealth, which reaches the nisab, then it becomes obligatory on me to know how to calculate the amount of zakah and who is eligible to receive this zakah. Here it becomes obligatory. If I don't trade, I never traded anything. I don't work in trading. No trading. No commercial trading. Do I have to know the fiqh of trade? No. But if I start to open a shop and start trading, buying and selling and making, safqa is to, arrangements and agreements, then I have to know what is allowed and what is not allowed in trading. Because I have to take care not to fall in riba or in many haram things which might occur in trading. So this category, which we are going to talk about, it is this category, no one is excused for being ignorant of it. It's called al-wajib al-ayni, which is obligatory upon every individual Muslim. First category, which is the obligatory, as I said, meaning of justification, how to pray, how to fast, what is tawheed, what unifies tawheed. This is from the first category, which is obligatory on each and every Muslim. The second category, which is al-fard al-kifa'i, which is additional to that, the legislated ruling which the Ummah, Islamic nation together, has need of. But not everyone has to learn it. First category obligatory, second category that if some people, خلاص they learned it, this is sufficient. So these are the two categories. We should know before entering into the matters, the four matters, what is meant by knowledge, which is obligatory upon the ummah, upon each and every individual, which is the legislated, again he's saying now, we are talking about legislated Islamic knowledge. As for worldly knowledge, like knowledge of industries, professions, arithmetic, engineering, this knowledge, it is permissible to learn it, and it can be obligatory if the ummah has need of it. Now, for example, now the ummah now needs to make a bomb, needs to make this weapon. In order to save the ummah of Islam, or to save the countries of Islam, so we need this knowledge, this type of science. That this worldly science might become obligatory in case there is a need of it. Otherwise, all worldly knowledge is just permitted, allowed. However, it is not the knowledge which is intended in the Quran and the Sunnah, that which Allah the Most High has praised and commanded its people, and which the Prophet ﷺ said about it, الْعُلَمَاءُ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. The scholars or the people of knowledge are the inheritors of the prophets. So ulama here is not any alim. And you see now, you have, for example, a great doctor. Someone might have knowledge in astronomy, he went to the moon, he went to there, and still he is an ignorant because he was not able to find his own creator. He was not able to save himself from his fire. He was not able to know the purpose of his creation. Is this a knowledgeable person? So the only knowledge is the knowledge of Quran and Sunnah. So anyone who is ignorant about math or science or whatever, there is no sin upon him. It is only permissible. It's only permissible. Time. Will Allah ask any one of you, did you teach your child math? Did you teach him science? Did you teach him literature? Allah will not ask you this. He will not ask you about what you taught your children. And He will not ask us about what did we learn regarding these sciences. Like, and Allah will not tell me why I don't know math. Allah will not tell me this, I will not be asked at all. It will not differ at all. It's just something for a worldly benefit. It might help me in my work, in my life, like eating and drinking. But Allah will surely ask you about the knowledge you should have attained. What we are going to talk about today. And Allah told us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, He told us because each and everyone will pass by an exam, a test, will be tested. As soon as we are placed in our graves, and people, they put the dust upon us, and the people, the men who are going to bury us, they will turn away. They will turn away. And we are going to hear the sound of their heels hitting the ground. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow that person to hear the sound of the heels while they are walking away from you. And then there will come these, we are going to explain this in detail, but I'm going to tell you. This is what the treaty is telling you about, that this treaty is telling you about. When two angels, looking terrifying angels, will make you wake up and you will sit. And then they start asking you about the knowledge which you should have attained during your life. Who is your Lord? Man Rabbuka? What is your religion? Ma dinik? What is your religion? Man Nabiyik? Who is your Prophet? These are the three questions. And all Islam, all what we are going to learn about Islam, legislation, the explanation and the answer of these three questions. So the Shaykh here saying, the person who turns away from that, from knowing Allah, his religion, and his Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then when he is questioned in his grave, then he will say, I don't know. And ha here is not ha ha, no. Ha is, we say ha is like what? What did you say? So I say ha. Islam saying, what did you say? What's this? This is ha. And so anyone who did not care, he will answer this answer. He is a Muslim, by the way. This one is going to say ha, ha, la adri. He is a Muslim, or she is a Muslim. Her father was a Muslim, her mother was a Muslim, she was a Muslim. She might pray, she might fast, but she has no idea about Islam, no idea about Allah. Never cared to learn about Allah or Allah's commands. So we should say, I don't know. I heard the people saying something, so I said. People were saying, La ilaha illallah. So she said, La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah. Not ha, ha is H-A-H. Ha. And this is what, this wallah is happening a lot here now. A lot of people here now, they have no idea about Islam. No idea about Allah's names. They're just like this, Muslims. So, they say, I heard this person in the grave will say, I heard some people saying something, so I said it. Then this person, will be the angel will reply, لا درجت ولا تريت. The angel will tell him, you did not know, and did not read, or you did not follow. Yes, he did not know, it's true. You never cared to know, and never cared to read, and you never cared to follow. And if this was the reply, then this person who turns away from that, from knowledge, he say, I don't know, his grave will be made to blaze with fire upon him. And we ask Allah, refugee. His grave will be made to blaze with fire upon him, would be crushed upon him to such an extreme that his ribs will cross over. Because he did not have knowledge, he did not read, and it would be said to him, did not know, did not read. So did not learn, did not follow the example of the people of knowledge. Rather, he was wasted and lost in his life. He wasted.